Chapter 12. Puppets. Bound by law. Decision. Kelkenod had been waiting for her when she returned to the work tiers. Tallery imagined that he had been searching for her by the florid cast of his face and the anger in his close-set, beady eyes.
"Where have you been?" he demanded. "A summons was transmitted over the watchwire 4 hours ago. You did not respond."
She brushed off the hand that grasped at her sleeve.
"Not that it is any concern of yours, but I went down to the deep stacks. I had to check something."
He jogged to keep up with her long-legged strides.
"This is most irregular. I demand you halt this instant and explain yourself."
"What I have to say is for the ears of the new curator only," Tallery retorted.
Her dislike and her distrust of the other scribe had hardened into a full and complete loathing. Kelkenod had gaped like a landed fish.
"He has barely set foot in the building. You cannot simply barge into his chambers and demand attention."
He gave a snort of derision.
"After your failure, I would expect you to stay out of sight." "What did you say to me?"
She rounded on him at the accusation.
"You failed to complete the tasks the Centrum office assigned to you."
He shot back the words, as if her misdeed was the highest of all crimes.
"You have put us behind schedule. Curator Lon's dockets remain incomplete, and that lies at your door, Tallery. You were told to expedite them."
"Something more important came up."
"More important than our documentation?"
the other scribe scoffed.
"Are you deluded?"
She pushed past him towards the door of the curator's office.
"I don't have time for this conversation. Get out of my way."
Kelkenod watched her go, spluttering with impotent ire.
"You'll be lucky if you aren't sent to count spent bolt shells on some backwater forge world before the day is out."
Curator Lon's replacement had set up in his predecessor's workspace, and all trace of the previous occupant had been erased. The great desk, the couch, the sparse human touches about the place, all were gone. Now the chamber was featureless and gloomy, lit only by the faint light of a hololith table and filled with the staccato chatter of fingers on a bone keyboard. Tallery approached slowly, her eyes adjusting to the dimness.
"Sir, my name is Catano Tallery. I am a scribe adepter, second classificate. May I address you?"
At first, the new curator did not respond to her presence. She saw a thin, drawn face emerging from a heavy hood, eyes fixed upon a ghostly, projected screen floating between them. She pressed on.
"Curator, I must speak with you on a matter of the greatest urgency. I have discovered criminality at work in this office. Treachery, sir."
The motion of fingers over keys halted at her last words, and Tallery heard the faint buzz and whir of clockwork mechan plants.
"I have a set of shipping logs here from the 8th and 11th dock sectors,"
she said hesitantly.
"These are just the most recent examples. Curator, it appears that someone is willfully diverting important supplies away from the war effort, towards some unknown destination."
The curator seemed to notice her then for the first time, augmetics clicking as he focused on Tallery's words. After so many days of bottling up the evidence she had uncovered, the scribe could barely stop herself from disclosing it all. She had to share it, if only to expunge the sense of toxic paranoia that tainted the information.
"I have imparted this to no other, sir. My colleagues here, they are not above suspicion."
The curator said nothing, taking in every word, his thin fingers hovering suspended over the keypad before him.
"I could find no terminal ident to trace these alterations to their source. I have no way to locate the person or persons responsible. The only recurrent factor in this phenomena is the reference to a location designated as Othrys."
Othrys. The curator sounded out the word in a curious, toneless diction, showing not a flicker of understanding.
"There's no listing for that location in any of our records. Does it mean anything to you, sir?"
"Othrys," he repeated, his head tilting gently forwards. "Processing." She heard the clicking of oiled machine parts once more. "No," he said, at length. "Nothing. Scribe Tallery, do not be concerned. Resume your duties." The long-fingered hands dropped back to the keyboard, and the endless rattle of typing resumed. A sickly sensation rolled through Tallery's stomach, and before she could stop herself, she was coming forwards in a rush, disrupting the gossamer hololith as she moved to stand over the figure at the keypad. Reaching out, she pulled away the hood covering the curator's head.
He did not shy away from her touch as a normal human might have. Instead, he sat serenely, continuing to work at his tasks as the hood fell back to reveal his true nature. Once it had been a man. Years or decades before, this curator had been someone with a name, a life, a full identity. But all of that was gone from him now, excised like the portions of his skull and brain missing beneath the hood. In their place, there were fine mechanisms of brass and silver clockwork, tiny cogs spinning endlessly amongst networks of mnemonic crystals and data capsules. This thing that sat before Tallery lived and breathed as she did, but it was no more self-aware than the dumb terminal cogitator she used to input her dockets. Curator Lon's replacement was nothing but a mind wipe, a servitor run by programs on punch card wafers and remote commands from somewhere. The first trickle of fear rose in Tallery as her gaze found the thick cables snaking down from sockets on the curator's bird-like neck. They disappeared beneath the folds of his robe to emerge again near the floor. She followed them across the room, peering owlishly into the shadows, until she came to a hollow in the wall where the cables terminated. The curator servitor was wired permanently into the Administratum data network, a body modification that smacked more of the cult mechanicum than the Departmento Munitorum. Tallery looked into those glassy, dull eyes, seeing no recognition, no understanding. It was only a puppet for some distant master elsewhere, and she wondered who it was that was looking back at her from behind them. "Resume your duties," repeated the curator.
"Yes, of course," she told it, recovering her composure as best she could. "You're quite right. I'm sure it's nothing. Just a rounding error or some such. No reason to be alarmed. I will do as you say."
Tallery crossed the chamber to the heavy wooden door, and it was all she could do not to run. Out in the office quadrant, she was suddenly aware of each and every scribe in their cubicles turning away from their work to look up at her. Some seemed indifferent, some fixed her with cold, measuring gazes that bore her nothing but ill will. She had no allies amongst her colleagues. She had never been one to socialize with the others between shifts, and that had bred suspicion of her. Before, Tallery had been indifferent to such petty behavior, but now, when she badly needed support, she knew there would be none. Then she spied Kelkenod across the far side of the room. His words were lost to her, but he was in animated conversation with a maniple of bulky humanoid mechanicals, the four of them towering over him. Each of the machines was detailed with a complex livery, a kind of hexadecimal heraldry that Tallery could not read. She knew only that the symbols designated them as combat serviles in thrall to the mistress of Riga herself, the ruler of the floating city-state, and a scion of the Legio Cybernetica. The mistress's cyborgs were what passed for law enforcement on the orbital plate, stripped-down versions of her Carda's battlefield thalaxy. They tirelessly patrolled the city streets, dealing out harsh, dogmatic justice to any criminals unlucky enough to attract their attention. Tallery's heart sank as she saw Kelkenod say her name and turned to look in her direction. He pointed, and as one, all four of the cyborgs set their gazes upon her. The glinting faces of the machines were featureless and utterly devoid of emotion. "Catano Tallery, remain still." The voice of the Thalax was harsh and grating. "You are bound by law under the authority of the Imperium of Man." The other scribes muttered in fear and confusion, many of them shrinking back into their cubicles so as not to be seen by the mechanoids.
"There must be some mistake," she insisted.
If the cyborg heard her words, it gave no sign. Instead, it advanced across the room with its cohorts in lockstep formation, iron arms rising to present capture claws and the maws of electro-guns. She backed away, the action purely reflexive. Her thoughts raced. Was this how Lond had met his end, at the hands of these machines? Had she said too much, foolishly betraying what she had learned to the very forces trying to conceal it? Tallery had the sudden and very certain impression that if she surrendered to the cyborgs, her life would be over. She was a good citizen, a loyal subject of her beloved emperor, and more besides. But this day she had looked up to find herself at the center of a whirlwind of distrust. If she were to vanish, no one would know about Othrys, the missing ships, and the stolen munitions. That could not be allowed to happen. "Catano Tallery," repeated the machine, as it reached for her. "Remain still."
I'm sorry, she stuttered. I can't take the risk.
The machine was almost upon her when the scribe burst into motion. She pushed away from a grasping claw and almost collided with a drooling servitor pushing a wheeled hod filled with heavy ledgers and data slates. Reacting without conscious thought, Tallery grabbed the shoulders of the servitor and shoved it hard towards the Thalaxi. The thick books and glassy slates slipped from the hod and came down around the machine soldiers like an avalanche. Their advance was momentarily blocked, and she used the confusion to make a break for the corridor. Pulses of energy lit the air as they opened fire. Tallery heard a choked-off scream as one of the other functionaries was too slow to get out of the line of attack, and she saw him go spinning to the floor, writhing as a discharge meant for her shocked through him. "Do not resist arrest," called the machine.
"Tallery, what have you done?"
she heard Kelkenod cry out to her, a moment before she slammed through a set of doors. Bursting into the corridor, she ran full tilt for the conveyor shaft at the far end. In her mind's eye, she was plotting out the route she would follow. The conveyor would take her all the way down the length of the Munitorum Tower to the sublevels. From there, Tallery could lose herself in the thronging crowds of people, finding safety in numbers. She would need to seek a way off Riga, perhaps by shuttle or freight barge, then find someone she could trust to tell. Her plan crumbled to dust in an instant as a second maniple of cyborgs rounded the far corner up ahead and took up a position directly in front of the conveyor shaft.
"Throne and blood, no!"
She was trapped, her escape route cut off, with the other mechanicals close at her heels.
"Remain still," droned the cyborg's vocoder. "Do not resist."
Tallery cast about desperately. She had committed herself to this course of action, and she could not draw back from it. She knew that the machines would never listen to her explanations. They considered her a flight risk now, and she would be lucky to avoid being gunned down where she stood. The rebellion of Warmaster Horus had put Terra on a war footing, and with that change had come others, more sinister and repellent. The shadow cast by the turncoat was not just from fear of him and what he might do, but from fear of his father, the Emperor, as well. The Imperium's grip on its citizens was tightening as people imagined treachery in every shadowed corner. And they were right to do so. There were traitors on Riga, and they wanted Catano Tallery.
"I won't surrender,"
she shouted, shrugging off the near panic and fighting to concentrate. A few meters away, light flooded in through a tall window of colorful glassaic, depicting farmers hard at work in the fields of some agri-world. Without hesitating, Tallery grabbed the end of a short bench resting along the wall and upended it, shouldering it through the glass.
"Halt, you are bound by law. Halt now."
Ignoring the commands of the machine, she vaulted up to the window frame and pushed out onto the ledge through the broken panes, where the bulky cyborg could not immediately follow. Tallery had never really considered how tall the tower was. Not until then, as she looked down towards the thronging streets far below. Cargo transports and smaller tilt jet flyers charted courses around the building and the habitat blocks nearby. As a passenger skiff shot past, she called out and tried to flag down the pilot.
"Hey, you! Help me!"
But the skiff did not come back around. If Tallery could not get off the ledge, her pursuers would find a way to get out after her.
"Surely someone will come to my aid."
A whole city's worth of sky traffic was racing past just a few meters away. Would they all ignore her? Was everyone on Riga afraid to lift up their heads and call out injustice when they saw it? Was everyone too scared to get involved? Part of the tower's structure fractured with the force of a heavy impact from within, and a wide crack appeared.
"There is no escape," said a synthetic voice from within.
With flawless logic, the relentless machines had chosen a more direct approach to Tallery's capture. Reconfiguring their talons into mailed fists, the Thalaxi set to work smashing an opening through the wall of the tower, sensing her through the stonework with their thermal images. A thick, plasteel arm emerged through a rent in the masonry and grabbed at Tallery's robes, snatching at the material. She cried out and tried to pull free.
"Release me!"
"Do not resist."
Stone crumbled, and cloth ripped. She saw it happening, and Tallery knew there was nothing she could do to stop it. The stone ledge beneath her feet cracked and broke away, her robe tearing as gravity pulled her down. For one sickening second, she hung suspended by what remained of her hood. And then she fell. Garrow eyed her coldly and without pity.
"You should be dead."
"I thought so."
The scribe was shaking, reliving the terror of her ordeal.
"But there was a cargo flyer. It passed beneath me, and I struck it as I fell. I grabbed on for dear life."
Tallery paused to wipe tears from her cheeks.
I survived. The Emperor protects.
He does. Fortunate for you. Garrow shook his head. Had Tallery really been spared by Providence? Blind luck was more likely the reason, but he couldn't bring himself to voice that thought. You made the worst choice you could have. The window was a foolish decision. Where did you possibly hope to go? What were you thinking?
I was terrified, she cried. I reacted on instinct. I told you before, I am merely an imperfect human, not a fighter like you. This is all new to me.
That much is certain, he allowed. Your choices have been flawed, simple to predict. It is why I was able to track you so easily. Count yourself lucky that the Legio Cybernetica's machine soldiers are lacking in such insight. If they could think instead of just react, you would have been in their clutches days ago. He frowned. The woman represented a complication of the kind he wished to avoid. But, with each passing moment, he realized with greater certainty that Tallery's dilemma could not be easily resolved.
Perhaps this is meant to be. It is fated.
Her words gave Garrow pause, and he considered his own circumstances, his own experiences. I have thought the same, in days past. She went on, finding her composure once more.
I heard the warrant in my name being broadcast over the watchwire. They have labelled me a traitor. My own colleagues are turning on me, that rodent Kelkinod, and all the others. They all believe that I am guilty of treason against my world and my emperor. But nothing could be further from the truth.
Tallery stared at him, her eyes ablaze.
Do you believe me?
The question caught Garrow off guard. He stopped short of nodding in agreement and looked away. What I believe is that there are lies here. And, traitor or not, you are bound up with them, scribe.
If you take me to the authorities, I will be executed.
Tallery's bleak summation of her situation was as honest as it was brutal.
If the Mistress of Riga is part of this, she will want me silenced. If not, those who have manipulated events up until now will manipulate her as well. No one can be trusted.
He eyed her. And yet you trust me with what you know. To make me stay my hand. How do you know I am not a part of it? She gave a quick, brittle smile.
Because you would never have let me speak.
That great sword of yours would have taken my head from my neck. Garrow brought his weapon up from where its point rested against the steel decking, and to her credit, the scribe did not flinch. This blade is called Libertas, he explained. The name can mean many things, among them truth. And I believe that is what you have given to me. Do you know what I am? What it is that I do? She nodded.
You are one of the Emperor's Angels of Death, a space marine. Although, I confess, I do not recognize the colors of your armor. Of what legion are you?
A question now often asked of me, it seems, Garrow replied. I have no brotherhood. Not anymore. The legion I was born to has fallen to infamy, and I have been renewed in a greater duty. I have a new purpose. I serve as Agenta Primus for Malkador the Sigillite, Lord Regent of Terra. I hunt for him, scribe, to find warriors of like spirit, and to track and terminate the Warmaster's spies.
Is that why you are here, in the city? You were sent to end my life.
Garrow ignored the question. His reasons for being on the Riga orbital plate were his own, and for now he had no desire to reveal them to anyone else. I was drawn to your hunt when I heard the warrant on the watchwire. My presence here is a secret, even to Malkador. Doubt filled Tallery's eyes.
The Sigillite sees all.
So he would like us to think, he corrected. But I have learned that there are some places where his gaze does not fall. He put away his blade, and Garrow considered the slight, unassuming woman. Her story of this missing materiel, of the insidious turning of Imperial might against itself, all of it rang a familiar note. A few years earlier, as Horus pulled the trigger that began his bloody rebellion, another incident of treachery, like the one Tallery described, had taken place. The gargantuan warship known as Furious Abyss had been stolen by traitor forces from the shipyards of Jupiter. It was a great failure of Imperial security, the culmination of a clandestine plot that revealed exactly how vulnerable the solar system was to the Warmaster's network of spies. Despite the purges and pogroms that had followed, it was certain the traitor still lurked close to the throne world. As close as Riga, so it seemed. There was another reason why Garrow had let Tallery live. It was not just to hear her tale. His gaze was drawn again to the golden aquila about her wrist. "I know what you are, Catano Tallery. I know what you believe in."
"What do you mean?"
She failed to conceal her shock at his words. "The charm you wear. It is the secret sign of the cult of the God Emperor. You believe that the master of mankind is more than he claims. You consider him a living deity, worthy of your worship even as he forbids it. Your church, your faith, is forbidden by the imperial truth." He said the words without weight. She stared at the ground and nodded slowly.
"It is true. I believe in him.
It is by his grace that I live still. It must be so." Tallery took a shaky breath.
"You think me a fool for admitting this?"
Garrow gave a rueful smile and shook his head. "Then I too am a fool. I have learned with blood and fire that faith is the only true constant. The Emperor protects, Tallery. If that is a lie, then there is no purpose to this conflict, and I will not accept that." He shook off the moment of introspection and beckoned her. "To your feet, scribe. We cannot stay here. The gunships will return." With a civilian in tow, Garrow no longer had the luxury of using the falsehood to shroud his movements. The camouflage cape folded back over his war gear, and instead he returned to baser tactics, sticking to the depths of the shadows as they made their way through the shipyard. To her credit, the scribe was a quick study, and she mirrored Garrow's motions as best she could, stepping where he stepped, staying well clear of anything that could get them noticed. She did not question him, and that spoke to her character. His gen-hanced senses could smell the sweat on her skin, hear the urgency of her breathing, and he knew that terror walked with her. He imagined it was only fear of death itself that ranked above her fear of him. The common humans of the Imperial citizenry, people like Catano Tallery, had been taught from birth that the Legionis Astartes were war incarnate, scions of battle to be revered and dreaded. Sometimes Garrow and his kinsmen lost sight of that. He turned and gave her what he hoped was a nod of approval, but it was difficult to tell if she took it as such. He wanted to explain to her that they were not so different, the warrior and the scribe, both the victims of betrayal in their own ways. Garrow, too, had been called traitor by short-sighted men, and he knew how that accusation burned. Even if he understood nothing else of Tallery, he understood that. He pointed. "That way. Move quickly."
"Where are we going, my lord?"
"To find..." The words died in Garrow's throat as, without warning, bright beams of light stabbed down from the gantries above their heads, drenching the deck with a stark glow. He hissed as his augmented eyes adjusted to the glare. But Tallery had no such genetic enhancement, and she shielded her face with her hands, staggering backwards. The grating snarl of a Thalax's amplified voice sounded out around them. "Remain still. You have been detected. Do not attempt to flee." Garrow cursed their luck. He had gambled that doubling back along their path would sneak them through the patrol lines of Thalaxi, but it appeared that the machines were not as dull-witted as he had hoped.
"How many of these things have they sent?" he asked the question aloud. "All this just for an accountant."
Bulky metallic forms were visible as shadows behind the sharp illumination of the spotlights, and he picked out the shape of electro-stunner weapons and shock mauls. One such cyborg would have been no match for him, cut to shreds by the edge of Libertas in short order, but there was a full cohort of the machines descending towards them, and with Tallery to keep safe, the balance of any engagement would slide away from Garrow's favour. He chose to wait, keeping his hands close to the hilt of his sword and the bolt pistol holstered at his hip.
"They're going to kill us," murmured the scribe.
"I will not allow that," he vowed. "Stay back."
A dozen of the mechanoids marched out to surround them, covering every avenue of escape. Sapphire light flashed over Tallery's face, and she cowered. Then the beams crossed up over Garrow's armor and his stoic countenance.
"Your presence in this sector is not sanctioned," grated one of the machines. "Identify yourself." "I am Battle Captain Nathaniel Garrow, Agenta Primus of the Regent of Terra."
He made certain to stand so that the faint tracery of the sigilite's mark on his armor was visible to the cyborg's senses. By my authority, I order you to lower your weapons.
The Thalax responded without pause. Your authority is not recognized. Step aside. Surrender the scribe to our custody.
You defy the will of Lord Malkador.
He tapped the lone sigil on his pauldron, the literal representation of the sigilite's official sanction.
You know what this means, machine. Stand down. I commanded.
Command refused, said the cyborg. Termination of target supersedes all other authority. We answer only to the mistress of Riga.
It was not the answer he had been expecting, and Garrow sensed Tallery tensing behind him. No human would have dared to speak so to a representative of the regent, even if Garrow was operating outside the sigilite's orders at this moment. But the masters of the Riga orbital plate were not mere humans any more, he reminded himself. Unique amongst the floating cities that drifted over Terra's surface, rulership of Riga had been granted to the mech lords in exile after their new master, Fabricator General Kane, had escaped the fall of Mars. In the aftermath of those events, certain loyal houses of the Legio Cybernetica had gained favor in the Imperial Court, and Riga had been a reward for their constancy. Garrow was not privy to the politicking behind such power games, nor did he wish to be. All this meant to him was that there were emotionless machine patrolmen standing in his way, instead of flesh-and-blood arbitrators who he might have cowed more easily.
Scribe Tallery has been designated excommunicate traitoris, said the cyborg. Her life is forfeit. Final warning. Stand aside. I refuse. She is under my protection.
So it would come to battle, then. A part of Garrow welcomed the honesty of it. The Thalax took aim at him.
Then you will be reclassified as an accessory to her crimes and treated a court.
In the blink of an eye, Libertas left the scabbard on Garrow's back, and he used it to draw a shimmering arc through the air, ending in a seamless cut that beheaded the machine soldier.
"Scribe, seek cover!"
he shouted, and his other hand brought up the bolt pistol and fired a close-range shot into another of the Thalaxi before it could discharge its electro-gun.
"Attack, apprehend, terminate!"
The cyborgs spat a metallic chorus of commands and came at him in a mob. Garrow waded into the engagement and let the old, familiar battle sense wash over him. In combat with these machines, he had no need to pull his blows, as he might have if he were engaging human opponents. The warrior's lip curled as he began to take the artificial beings apart with swift, forceful, and deadly strikes. Blow by devastating blow, shot by pinpoint shot, Garrow battled the small army of machines. The lesson he taught them was that transhuman flesh and bone could be every bit as unyielding as plasteel and brass. Shocked and awed, Tallery watched the legionary fight. Garrow dismembered the Cybernetica's machine soldiers with brutal precision, weathering blows from their shock mauls with grim determination and beating them back. The decking beneath his feet ran dark with spilled oil and organic fluids. Severed robotic limbs twitched where they had fallen, grasping blindly while power still ran through their systems. The grey-armoured warrior killed another mechanical with a point-blank shot, blasting fragments of metal shrapnel into the air. He had cut a gap in their line, and as Garrow risked a glance towards her, Tallery instinctively knew what she should do.
"Scribe!" he bellowed. "Run!"
She felt a pang of guilt as she broke into a headlong sprint, a strange reaction towards someone who a short time ago had been on the cusp of executing her. But with this deed, and with his willingness to let her speak, Garrow had proven himself a good soul, ready to defend her, to believe in her. It had been so long since anyone had believed in Kitano Tallery that she hardly recognized the feeling. She half turned as she ran.
"Come on, they'll be calling in reinforcements."
A gasp caught in her throat as she saw the quick, deadly machines marshal their strength and attack the legionary as one.
"Don't look back," he shouted.
A salvo of shock blasts bombarded Garrow from every angle as the machine soldiers fired in concert. Serpents of brilliant lightning slithered over his battle plate and into his flesh. Pain that would have killed 10 men tore an agonized howl from the warrior's throat, and he stumbled, falling to one knee, struggling to stay conscious. Or so she thought. With a monumental roar, Garrow took in the agony and endured it. He rose again, shrugging off coruscating webs of blue fire. His sword shone in the hard glare of the spot lamps, coming around in a blazing arc of murderous steel. Tallery understood.
He had let the machines come close, reeling them in so that he might end this engagement with a single, perfect strike. The sword crossed the necks of the remaining Thalaxi, beheading them one after another. Libertas flashed, ending the fight in a final, breathless instant. There was something magnificent in the power of it, and terrible too.
"It is as they say," she breathed. "Your kind are the hammer of the Emperor. His will is made manifest through you."
Garrow approached, shaking droplets of dark fluid from his gauntlets. "That is one way to see it." He frowned at her. "I told you to keep running. What if I had been defeated by their superior numbers?"
"That did not seem a likely outcome."
His lips thinned. "I am not invincible. No one is. Not even the Emperor, no matter what we may think of him." Tallery did not want to consider that Garrow's words might be true, and she nodded towards the heap of wrecked machine limbs.
"It would seem the Mistress of Riga wishes me dead."
"Perhaps," said the legionary, "but a machine can be made to think anything you tell it to. They have only the loyalty they are programmed with. Other influences may be at work.
Whoever is behind this, they'll be coming for both of us now."
"No doubt." He rubbed his chin in thought. "So it falls to you and I. We must find the truth."
"I don't know where to begin," she said.
But whatever reply the warrior was going to make was suddenly lost in a shrieking storm of jet noise from above. The raptor-like gunship drone hovered over them, wings curving downwards, its thrust awake striking with the force of a tornado. Heavy ballistic cannons, powerful enough to rip through the hull of a battle tank, turned to target them. It came in low, and Tallery saw the blank sensor eyes of the machine-mind predator lining up for the kill. Garrow scowled at the bolt pistol in his hand and gestured with his sword. "My pistol is empty. Scribe, get behind me." "Targets located." The words sounded from a vox horn on the underside of the autonomous aircraft. "Terminate." Garrow sneered his defiance at the drone aircraft, brandishing Libertas before him. "I will not perish in this place, at the hands of some clockwork avian," he shouted. "Come then, try to kill me, if you dare." The machine paused, ready to open fire, but briefly uncertain of its targets. Garrow realized why as the scribe suddenly ran out into the open and sprinted directly towards the gunship. "Tallery, no!" The drone recalculated and shifted its aim to the woman, to its primary programmed target. Garrow thought that the woman was making some brave, suicidal gesture, willingly putting herself in harm's way to save him from being fired upon. But then he saw Tallery throw up her hands and address the twitching sensor head of the drone directly. She was calling to it.
"Heed me!" screamed the scribe. "Command input directive, officio centrum omnis pentalia."
To the legionary's surprise, the gunship's machine brain actually hesitated.
"What in Terra's name?" he murmured.
Garrow heard Tallery shout a series of numerical code strings, clusters of ones and zeros that meant nothing to the legionary. And yet, the effect they had on the drone was stark and immediate. The massive cannons powered down, and the machine's targeting lasers winked out. As abruptly as it had descended upon them, the gunship powered away into the sky without firing a single shot.
"It worked," said Tallery,
amazed by her own actions.
"Praise the Emperor, it actually worked."
"What did you do?"
Garrow came to her side, glaring into the shadows in search of any other lingering threats.
"Those words you said. That was a Mechanicum code."
She nodded briskly.
"A base Gothic form of binaric, yes. I used a Departmento override command to convince the drone that its weapons were in need of rearming. It's heading back to the hangar right now."
Tallery paled as the adrenaline in her system ebbed away.
"A machine can be made to think anything you tell it to. Isn't that what you said? You just have to know how to talk to them, of course."
Despite the woman's reckless act, Garrow could not help but be impressed by her resourcefulness.
"Clever. Could you not have done that with the machine soldiers as well?"
"Different mechanoids have different command protocols," she explained.
"I remembered those of the gunships from an addendum in Curator Lon's files. I remember all I see."
She took a deep, shuddering breath.
"It seemed a practical risk to take."
"You seem to have a proclivity for risking your life," he replied. "You could have been killed."
"That would have happened anyway."
As she said the words, Garrow saw that she understood that truth as well. the reality of the danger she had just been in dawning on her.
Other drones will be coming to take that one's place, and my trick won't work twice. Is there somewhere you can send me? Into custody of some kind?
Her tone became imploring.
If you are Malkador's agent, then perhaps he can keep me safe until this is all out in the open.
In spite of himself, Garrow's scarred face twisted in a scowl. His presence on Riga was utterly unsanctioned, and he was reluctant to speculate on what might happen if he brought this before the Sigillite. Malkador was not a man to tolerate disobedience lightly, as others had learned to their cost. He reluctantly shook his head.
As much as I wish it, for now that option is not available. Circumstances mean we must remain together, Scribe. I will have need of that perfect memory of yours, if I am to cut through the lies surrounding this conspiracy. We must find Othrys and learn its secrets.
Garrow thought she might oppose him, but then the scribe gave a hesitant nod.
My life is in your hands, my lord, as it has been all along.